What is up? Welcome to Meet the Streamer episode 4. We are meeting with GG Report. Our new guest today. We're doing a little different intro today. We are doing it all audio, no live. Just because of certain things going on. So this is probably the format going forward. A full audio format. Get rid of the whole live. The live would be a pain in the butt. So, and we'll meet up with a GG Refork. So hang on tight. All right. Mr. Refork, you're alive. What's going on, sir?
Not too much, man. It's been a crazy, crazy weekend. This storm has made my life not the best.
Awesome. How are you? I'm doing good, man. And we have our other co-host, myself, and what happened? Myself and Hypnotic, co-host to show of Meet the Streamer. Say hi, Hypnotic.
Don't let him lie to you. This is really just his three most personalities. All coming out of one.
Yeah, pretty much.
How are you all doing?
So our guest today, if you don't know, is GG Refork. He is a streamer. I always see that you are a pro gamer. You were a pro gamer, or maybe you were still a pro gamer, because I seen you play PUBG and you're freaking badass.
Teach me the way,
right?
Yeah, I used to be a pro gamer back in the old days. I feel like I'm ancient now on the gaming community, like as far as pro gaming goes. But I was a pro back in 2007 to 2000, like almost 2009. So like right at the end of the MLG season, right into 2009. So I was competing 2006 I started at the playoffs for New York 06, and it was a team with Little Poison, High Distortion, as some of you may know him from Gears of War, or he's a big Fortnite streamer now. Little Poison was a 7 year old. He was a prodigy for gaming. He was the youngest Halo pro, or youngest professional gamer in the world. He was in the Guinness Book of World Records. And my other friend, Blackout the God. So that was my first ever event. Got us known. But I was a semi-professional after that event. And then in 2007, I switched over to Rainbow Six Vegas, and became a professional Rainbow Six Vegas. And then I transitioned back over to Halo 3. And then I took a hiatus and I stopped gaming professionally for a while to focus on school.
Oh, very cool. Wow, you were in many different pro gaming circuits there. It was awesome. How good was your, or how good, if you're a pro gamer, God, I wish I could play at that level. But what was like your team like?
Well, it depends which team we're talking about, but I'll go with my highest placing, and that was fifth place in Dallas, in Rainbow Six Vegas, and that team was insane. But I can tell you right now, the craziest part of programming was the fact that, man, it didn't matter how good you did, you were always at risk of getting dropped from a team. And I mean, I missed a lot of family vacations and things growing up, because if you want to be on a pro team, missing even a day or two of practice, people were looking to drop you, and it no matter how good you were. So it was crazy. I mean, at that event, we just got fifth place. You know, we got quite a bit of money for it.
That's awesome.
Literally stood up. We got off our table. We went upstairs to celebrate. And my buddy Mike at the time, he's like, hey, come in this. He's like, come to room. I forget what room number. Maybe 160. And so we all went to room 160, and it was three of my teammates and one other guy. He's like, this is the next four for the next event. I was like, dude, we just got fifth place and we're already talking about dropping somebody and picking somebody up. Like, it was, I mean, that's just how it was.
Wow, that's cutthroat, dude.
Yeah, it is. It's helped me quite a bit in life in general, to be honest. I mean, I felt like playing in that environment has, in a more accelerated way, because I'm always prepared for stuff like that.
I can imagine, yeah. Excuse me. So what was, I guess, all the traveling that has to go behind pro gaming, like, how was it, like, hardship on you guys, like, missing family events? That had to be tough. I mean, was your family supportive of you with the whole pro gaming?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, the rule in my house growing up, which I think was a great rule, was as long as I did good in school, they really didn't care that I did it. So, you know, school was always my primary focus. But, you know, the family vacations, I was 16, 17, 18 years old when I did this. So it was, 14, 15, where, you know, my parents would have cared as much. But, you know, they were disappointed that I didn't go on some of these trips, but they understood because of what I was doing. You know, I did get to travel quite a bit to be, you know, on the circuit. And I have some crazy, crazy stories for that as well.
I can imagine.
Good time.
That's awesome. Hypnotic. You have any follow-ups there? Or?
That sounds exciting. I always thought about, always wanted to become a pro gamer, but after, you know, sounds good and it sounds bad. There's a lot of bad that comes with it too. Sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a lot of sacrifices.
The rush, though. So were you on stage and?
Yeah.
So the rush of being on stage. Yeah. How was that? Like the feeling of all those people watching.
It's the reason I still do it, man. It's a feeling that you can just chase forever, and I mean it's. There's nothing like being on the main stage and having, you know, all these people sitting on bleachers at the times. I don't know what it's like now. I haven't been to an event in years, but they had bleachers in front of us, and you know, there's probably a couple hundred people, and I know some stadiums now get filled with people, so I couldn't imagine what it feels like to be on that kind of stage. But you know, when I was there, having just a couple hundred people sit in front of you, and then you do something ridiculous, and then the whole crowd like stands up and is screaming, and it was just insane. I know they have booths and stuff now where you can block out the sound, but back then there wasn't, so it was really hard to hear the game. I mean, you're sitting on that stage, and you know, there's giant screens behind you that could see every single screen. And I know some of the broadcasts now, they like to focus on one player. Back then, it wasn't. It was just everybody screened behind you, and it was pretty insane. Made the environment like it just crazy, and people would stand up. Like if you would do something crazy, like people would stand up, and there was shit talking loud. So that was a big part of it. But that's not. I know they try to up the professionalism now, so that's not really how it happens anymore. But.
Yeah, Blizzard's making a big change in the whole field of pro gaming.
I don't know, I get nervous just going live on Twitch. And that's all behind the keyboard. I don't know about that, going live in front of a lot of people like that. That's insane.
Well, we saw plenty of people, you know, who were great online, and they were called the online warriors for a reason, because when they got in front of people or got on LAN, they just couldn't perform.
Yeah, that would be my biggest worry.
I've seen people throw up before like matches and stuff because they were about to play some people. Like, I mean, there's some crazy stuff.
What kind of like pre-game rituals did you ever see doing that? And I know like in sports, everybody's got their own pre-game ritual to do.
I mean, honestly, it was one of those things where you like there was always a match to watch. So you're always just watching, like going around and just trying to find the best match. And then there would just be all these people like huddled around one station. So, I mean, they have the main stage, and that was always going to be a good match. But, I mean, most of the action happens on the side stages. And that's just hundreds of people like right at your back. I mean, you're separated by maybe half a foot from the rest of the crowd. And they have like a little banner right there, and everybody would sit around and watch their friends play. So, I mean, as far as pregame rituals go, I mean, I guess that would be it. I was always just trying to support my friends, whoever it was, and just try to get in their game. And you know, they do something sick, and you can even like hit them on the shoulder. You know what I mean? Like just pump them up. And it, I mean, we saw some crazy stuff. Like the one time I saw somebody kill another player, and he got up and he pulled his cell phone out, and he turned around and like took a selfie with him, like with the faces of the guys that he just killed. Because I mean, the way they set you up is, you know, they have your screen right in front of you, all four of your players are sitting right next to each other, and then the screens of the other players are right on the other side of your screen, so you're sitting a foot away from each other on the other side of the table. And you would stand up and look down at the people that you just killed. So it made it so intense. And when you messed up, the other team let you have it. I mean, that's just that was the environment. It made you feel terrible. Like the first time that happened to me, I like, oh my god. You know, I was like 16. This kid was probably like 25 and a lot bigger than me. I'm not a big guy, and this guy was huge. And you know, I talked crap to him, and then after the game, he came up to me and was like, "I'm not about to shake your hand. I'm about to beat your, you know."
Oh my god!
So I was like, "Oh my god, please don't hurt me."
That's crazy. So,
yeah, it was crazy. It's a lot of fun times.
I bet, man. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So going from pro gamer for about a few years there, and coming off that high, what did you get into after that? Like, how'd you get back into like the feel of normal life being after all the traveling?
Yeah, so I mean, I didn't.
You didn't.
Right away, I ended up becoming a professional online poker player for 2 years. That was
wow.
While I was in college. Yeah, so I really got into poker. And it was all because of one event from an MLG event. One of the guys I was playing with, he got knocked out really early, but we went back to the hotel room and I saw him make 50 grand in my hotel room while I was sitting there, and I was like, what the heck am I doing? Doing this, playing 16 hours a day, trying to become a pro gamer for no money, because there was no money back then.
Really?
Living off of it, unless you were in the top three players in the game, because
really?
They were sponsored. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't make a living off of the prize money alone. It just wasn't enough. It started there, like towards the end, like 2009, 2010. It started getting up there a little bit, but back when I played, it wasn't. It was fun money. It was.
Yeah.
I didn't have to work, you know, at McDonald's or something money, but it wasn't. It wasn't anything big, but anyway, I got into pro poker player, and I got a professional coach after I was ranked fifth in the world on PokerStars for the $5 games.
Oh,
I was
wow.
a tournament player.
Oh, you're a tournament player.
And then, I got a professional coach, and he ended up becoming a scumbag, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that later. But he was a two-time winner, PokerStars like monthly tournament leaderboards. So I mean, he was ridiculously good. Long story short, and as well as I think 10 other folks, and we were all his horses. So what that meant is we had to pay him half of what we won, but none of our losses. And he would stake us and give us money to play, and he would teach us how to play. So I got extremely, extremely good, and I became part of his elite team, which he bought us a mansion out in Vegas,
wow.
Which I ended up not going. But this had a basketball court in it. It had I think six pools, like it was insane. My roommate ended up going. Because I was teaching my roommate.
Okay.
But my I got to a point my parents were extremely, extremely, extremely against gambling.
Right.
They hated the fact that I did this. I made way more than I make now, and I make a good living. but I chose between staying in school because my mom was helping me out and co-signing my loan, or going out there and essentially quitting school. So I stopped doing that, and I did it on my own, and I didn't take it as seriously, but the FBI shut online poker down in 2001, and that kind of stopped me. But at one point, I was playing 40 tables at a time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was like playing a video game, man.
Wow.
I had everything hotkeyed, and I was making decisions in half a second. I played 1.6 million hands in 8 months.
Damn, wow. Dude. That's crazy.
So,
oh
yeah, it was a very different life, but
yeah, I can imagine. It's like high roller life right there.
Yeah, it was fun.
I mean, it sounds fun, definitely. So now we're back in. So that was a few years into that. So now, how'd you come off of that high? Like, what brought you out of that? I mean, besides your family being against it, like what brought you down for that into like the normal workforce in streaming?
It was pretty interesting. I mean, I went as soon as I really didn't know what to do after the FBI shut it down in 2001. So I was 21 years old. I could start going to casinos, but time and realized that going from 40 tables to one table really wasn't ideal. Because I mean, you get through this swing is a lot easier when you're playing 40 tables. I mean, I can get through a bad run of swings in a week, where it would take me a year to get through that. And you know, live, it's really difficult. But I decided I didn't want to play poker as much anymore. I wanted to focus on school, and at that time, gaming really wasn't my thing. I just wasn't into it. So what I did was I talked to one of my professors, because at the time I didn't have time to do all this, so I skipped a lot of school. I wasn't the best student in the world. I didn't take my undergraduate very seriously at all. Mm-hmm. But I finished my undergrad in digital forensics, and professor, and I asked him what I should do as far as grad school goes, just because I wanted to get my master's. And he told me that he would write me a letter of recommendation, because I didn't really have the grade for it, if I would take it seriously. And I told him I would. So I got into instructional technology, which is essentially building training and learning how to, you know, teach adults, essentially. So I got into that, got my master's in that, and I ended up with a 3.9. So I took it pretty seriously, and I fell in love with it. I really, really enjoy teaching people and training people, and you know, at this point, that's what I do for a living.
That's amazing. That's awesome. What a huge jump from careers.
Yeah, but I can tell you, it's all translated. I mean, I have that conversation with people all the time. People always ask, like, "Oh, my son or my kid is playing all day long. Like, what should I do?" And I'm like, "Well, it's like anything, right? If you take something serious enough, and you're really trying and actively trying to get better at it, whether it's sports, whether it's video games, whether it's poker, whatever, you will get better all around in life. Like, it's the thing that what I have the problem with, and what I always tell them, is that if you're doing this every day passively and you're not trying to improve, whether it's, you know, streaming, like, I know a lot of streamers are going to be watching this, like, take your streaming seriously, you know, don't, you know, if you're just doing everything passively, then, you know, you gotta think about what your decision, you know, if you're wasting time, like, you get, everything translates. That's, you know, and that's true. That's how you're gonna take everything.
That's very true. It's very good life experiences that you, you know, brought into, I guess, you know, from gaming, you know, pro gaming into pro poker, now into streaming. Like, you learned a lot, and I guess the whole instruction behind it as well allows you to where you take your experience, what you have, and imply, you know, hopefully to teach to other people, like, hey, you know, it's a game, but if you really want to be good at it, fucking assume the language, but be good at it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's life. You know, just if you're gonna take something, if you're gonna do something, do it well. You know, I think one of the best quotes I know is from Parks and Rec. I don't know if we have any Parks and Rec fans out there, but you know, never half-ass two things. Always whole-ass one thing.
Half-ass two things.
And that's Ron Swanson right there. But I take that seriously. You know, I never did poker and I never did gaming at the same time, because I knew I couldn't put my whole effort into it. And now that I, you know, I take my career very seriously, I'm not pro gaming anymore. I'm not, you know, playing poker professionally anymore. I take streaming very seriously, but I only do that, you know, a couple times a week, compared to the 12, 13, you know, 20-hour days I would put in in the past.
That's awesome. We've had some pretty cool life experiences. That's amazing. But now with streaming, so when did you start streaming, and when you started streaming, what were, like, this is, I guess, a two-part question. So I'll start with the first one. When did you start streaming?
I started streaming the end of December. So I think, like, December, like, 18th, I believe.
Okay. So we're like 3 months into streaming. That's awesome.
Yeah.
If not, I feel like I'm talking too much. Run over me if I'm talking too much, please. But, and then, so you started, December 18th, you said?
Around there. I'm not exactly sure.
It's like end of December.
Yeah, end of December.
Okay. What is your, or what was your hardest start into streaming? Like, what was your, like, oh my god, this is difficult, and how'd you overcome it?
Honestly, it was the fact that I looked at everyone else putting out really good content, and I know what I want to do. I just feel like I'm not there yet. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I have a lot of plans of things I want to do, but it's hard to pay attention to chat. It's at the same time as taking a game really seriously, and it's hard to be interactive the whole time and making sure that you're talking when no one else is around. It's difficult. It's not something I'm used to. I'm used to, you know, playing with a bunch of different friends and taking the game really seriously and calling out and speaking the entire time. Like, those things are easy. I don't get nervous in front of the camera. It's that I don't really know what to do when no one is interacting with me back. So, like, I think that's been the most difficult thing for me.
Wow, okay, yeah, I would definitely say that. Yeah, I'll notice that too when I'm playing certain games. It's just like, or even any game, like if you're fighting a big boss or something like a RPG, and you have chat talking and going, it's like, how you get that balance? And I find that very difficult because I can get very focused.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Agreed. So how are you finding ways to overcome that?
I mean, honestly, it's just practice. You know, I'm getting better and better at it. It's something that's gonna take some time. I knew going into this that it wasn't gonna be something where I was gonna be overnight successful, right? Like I know some big streamers personally. You know, like I said, High Distortion is a good friend of mine, and Emong from he's a big Overwatch streamer. Him and I played together for, you know, a little while on Battlefield. Ninja and I played against each other quite a bit in Halo.
Ninja?
Yeah.
Holy shit. So, that's awesome.
I know big people, but no one's going to help. No one's going to just drop me a host for 30,000 people. Like, that's
no.
not happening.
Yeah, no, it's not.
You know,
yeah.
So, and I don't expect it to. I would honestly, I'd be upset if someone did, because that's not a way to grow. I want to grow, you know, organically. I want to be the person that, you know, is grinding out, because they all did too. A year and a half, you know, Ninja had 100 viewers in Destiny, and he had, you know, and he was big because of Halo. I mean, he was right as I was getting out of professional gaming, he was becoming big. Okay. And you know, he did it on his own, and he deserves every bit of what of success that he's getting right now. And same thing with High Distortion. He did the same thing. He had no viewers for a year and a half, and now he is every day getting 3,000 to 10,000 people, depending on, you know, who's on. And they all deserve it, you know. And same thing with Emong. That's the same story. So the point of this is, you know, don't expect it to be an overnight success. It won't be, no matter if you have a name or not. I mean, these guys were all big in games before. Like, Emong was huge in Counter-Strike and really big in Battlefield, and High Distortion was big in Gears of War, and he was a Halo semi-professional. Ninja was a Halo professional, and these guys took a while. So, you know, they already had a following, and they still took a while. So I know it's something that's going to take some time.
Right, it's definitely a big grind, and it doesn't matter if you're big or small, it's still a grind every day.
Exactly. It is.
But the grind is, how are you dealing with the grind? Like, getting on every day, pushing that, well, not every day, but even a few weeks a day, and pushing that button, like, and just going. Like, because sometimes, do you feel discouraged? Like, oh, how is today going to be, you know, or is it going to be okay? Like, how do you get by it every day?
I mean, I think I've prepared myself for the grind, and then in the experiences I've had in the past, it was the same thing, man. We got on every single night at the same time. Like, I work from home, so I have to be prepared to be on, you know, be online even at work at the same time every day. Like, it's just one of those things. You just got to get into routine. Yeah, the first couple weeks, you know, even me with that experience, I think was a little bit tough to make sure that I got ready every day at the same time and got on. But it just becomes a routine, you know. And I'm trying to stream now more than I was, just because I feel like that's going to help growth. I mean, obviously, you know, getting on and showing your face, but being consistent. You know, I try to get on at 7 p.m. five nights a week, and then on the weekends I get on kind of whenever, and just play as long as I can and try to get those really long sessions in. But
definitely,
it's and, just that.
Yeah, that I guess that routine and just making sure you're, you know, hey, I'm gonna be here and really be there. It's like showing up for a job every day.
Exactly. Yeah, you gotta take it like a business.
That's very true. It's very true.
How do you work life balance or stream work life balance? How do you handle that?
I mean, from my perspective, I think it's a great balance. but from the outside perspective, I mean, some people might say, you know, maybe a little too much. But it's like I said, I work from home. It's tough. Where I work is where I game. So
right.
It's very easy for me to not get out and do other things. So it helps that one of my coworkers lives down the road, because our office is in Virginia, but I live in Pennsylvania. So somebody that works very close to me. Mm-hmm. So we go to each other's houses and hang out, and then I'll go out. And I don't ever commit to spending Friday night and Saturday night on gaming, because I don't want to make that commitment, because I want to leave that open, and I try to get out. But if I'm not getting out and doing something, then that's when I'll be on and streaming longer times. But I think that's the way I do it. I try to leave 2 days open, just so I force myself into a schedule of like, yeah, I'm going to stream every single day, because I think that leaves you in a spot where it might become unhealthy and you're going to get burned out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Because I stream 6 days a week, and there the seventh day was, World of Warcraft, and there's like no time in between just to decompress. So I can understand that.
Yeah, and I've been there many times where I gave up vacations, and I gave up, you know, hanging out with friends, and you know, I played sports in high school, but I stopped all the sports when I started, started playing games professionally, because I needed more time. And I know that I had some moments where I really didn't like where I was at, because I mean, the friends that you made in gaming, yeah, I still have amazing friends from the mm-hmm. community, but like I said, it was a business, and people, if you left for a night, you're like, hey, I want to take tonight off, they'll be like, oh, we'll sub somebody in, we'll play with them for the night. And I've been on both the receiving end and the giving end of saying, hey, yeah, it's okay if you don't get on, but we're going to play 10 hours with this other guy. And you had the idea in your head, if you did well that night, if you were struggling as a team, that you would just drop whoever that was, because they must have been the problem. It was a really young and inexperienced thing to think, but I mean, that's just how it goes. So I know it. I gave up a lot to do that, but it was really unhealthy and really it wasn't good mentally for me. And it took some years to realize that, but I think that's something to consider. You know, take the time off, like make sure you schedule, even if you have to schedule it, just schedule your breaks. You know, make sure you take your health above all things, because if you're not enjoying what you're doing, no one else will enjoy watching you.
Well, that's very true, and they can see it too.
Yeah. How let's see. Have you ever reached the point of burnout? And what did you do to fix it or adjust?
So I'm curious, like, do you mean in streaming in general, or
just streaming, professional gaming, just work, all that mixed in one, or?
Sure. I think work was the first thing I got burned out in. Like I said, working from home, you know, it sounds like a luxury, but man, it is tough when you have to get stuff done and you can turn on a stream right next to you and just watch that instead. So, or, you know, it's like, oh, I could just go upstairs and take a nap if I really wanted to, but you know, you don't. It's just, it's one of those things that it really messes with you mentally, and not being around everybody else all the time. You know, you don't have those water cooler conversations. You're sitting on your computer, you're doing work, you're in meetings, and that's really the only interaction you get with other people, because no one like messages one another and hops on and like, hey, let's talk for like 2 hours just to, you know, shoot the crap. Mm-hmm. So I got burned out pretty quickly at work, because I really didn't set a schedule for myself. I didn't have a space that I needed to be in. So I separated my space. I separated my workspace from my gaming space and my living space because I really needed to take it. I needed to put myself in a different mindset. And I think that's what helped me get out of burnout. Like I would say, you know, the same thing with gaming versus, you know, living space. Like if you're gaming in your living room, try to get out of that space and try to put yourself in a different mindset, and it'll help, because otherwise it all mixes and blends together. That's what it was like, you know, every day it just felt like a grind, like every single day, just getting on and then wanting to play games afterward. Like I was so mentally exhausted, and if I had a bad day at work, it spilled into gaming, and I didn't like that. Now I feel like I have a moment where I get off at 5 and I get on at 7. So I have 2 hours of like reset. I get into a different space and I'm in a good mindset to start streaming again. So, I mean, when I remove myself, I think that's how I got over the burnout.
Okay. So yeah, I guess it's finding a new way to, so like streaming, you're playing games, you know, 5 days of the week for like 6 hours of the day. It's finding a new way to relax. Like now that you're doing that, like gaming is becoming more, again, I guess it's becoming more ingrained into your daily life. How are you finding a way to decompress from gaming? Because gaming used to be my escape, and now it's like, oh, I don't want a game. I want to do something else besides gaming, because I do it 6 days out of the week for like 6-7 hours. So how are you finding a way to decompress from that?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's getting over to my buddy's house to work. I think that's a big way. So I'm not just in my house all the time, because I think it's really easy to become a shut-in. But I'm a really social person. I just rather game. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, like it just is. So I do that. I try to get out as much as possible to work different places. I try to get out and just see people around my town on the weekends. But man, I mean, that's what scares me, right? Like I'd rather game most of the time, but I try to always keep to my commitments, so I don't fall into that pattern, because I know where it leads. Like gaming's great. Like I could game 20 hours a day, no problem. I don't care if I don't sleep. I don't care about anything else. Like I did it for years and it was awesome. Like I miss those days, but I don't recommend it, because I know the kind of lifestyle it leads to. And it's not one that makes you super happy. It has good times, and you know, it's something that's fun, but doing it every single day, it's going to burn you out. It's not going to be what you need.
That's true. And it becomes, and but what you used to enjoy becomes the thing you used to, like, you know, no longer enjoy and can't be bothered with.
In the moment, it's a lot better to look back on than it is to be in that moment. I can tell you that.
No, yeah. Definitely coming from someone who's, you know, done it professionally. I had a question. What games? I see you play lots of PUBG. What games outside of PUBG? Like I see lots of first person. So you played lots of first person shooters back when you're professionally gaming. And I see lots of PUBG. Yep. But do you have like any genres you like to enjoy? Or is it mainly first person shooters?
I really only like first person shooters. I enjoy fighting games, but I'm so bad at it, and it makes me upset that I'm so bad at it. So I tend to buy like a new fighting game just to be like, oh my god, maybe this is the one that I'll take really seriously and get good at, and I never do, because I get to a point where I just get destroyed every single game and I hate it. So I tend to go towards first person shooters because I enjoy it significantly. So what I've been getting into lately is Rainbow Six Siege. So PUBG has broken my heart, and they have let the game fail.
Really?
Yeah. They have. They lost almost half of their player base to Fortnite because they allowed this cheating to go on way too long.
Oh yeah.
I mean it's really terrible. Like being, you know, I was 25th on the leaderboards at one point, and I got cheated in, I would say, 9 out of 10 games for weeks. Like it was almost every game, and and that's the ones I was even noticing, like the blatant cheaters, because, you know, being that high, they try to up with other players of that, you know, quote unquote skill rank. So it was against cheaters 90% of the time. It was terrible, and I just got so upset with it that I decided to go to a different game, and I watched the Rainbow Six Siege Invitational, so that just happened 2 weeks ago, and I was like, why have I not been playing this game? Like, I was a former Rainbow Six player, you know, why haven't I picked it up? I heard terrible things when it first came out, but it's made a huge resurgence, and I've been having it's been fun. Oh, cool. So that's my new stream game.
That's your new stream game. Yeah, Rainbow Six. You know, when I said the same thing. I was like, oh, this game's not going to do good when it first came out. And it got bad, you know, reviews and whatnot. Lately, it's been picking up. Like, very slowly, it's been picking up.
Yeah, that and the Division, the same thing.
No, yeah, the Division.
They're the same thing. It tanked when it first came out, and then they fixed it.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, like, with Rainbow Six, they're supposed to be putting in, you know, the next couple of years into development, and they're not going to make another game. They're just going to keep developing Rainbow Six Siege, which I think is brilliant. I mean, that's the same thing happened with League of Legends. When League of Legends first came out, it was a god-awful game, and no one liked it. And then it's in its, like, third or fourth year, it came out of nowhere and resurged into this amazing game, and people are going nuts. I mean, Counter-Strike... Like, Counter-Strike started off a little bit slow, and look at the staying power of Counter-Strike. And games like PUBG and Fortnite, like, I'm scared of those games because I don't know if they have the same type of staying power. Like, I feel like Fortnite is the flavor of the month, and it's going to be for a while, but I don't know if it has, like, it'll be interesting to see if it has the staying power that other games have had, because, you know, it just depends how into it the developers are, and that's, I guess that's the good thing about it, is... Mm-hmm. I don't like the game personally. I don't know. I don't get the high off of it that I do in like PUBG, where if I get a two piece in PUBG, I feel like good about what I did. Whereas in Fortnite, I can kill a whole team and not feel good about it. I don't know what that is, but I just, for me personally, I love watching it. Like watching Ninja play, oh my god, it looks amazing. But I personally just don't enjoy it, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, kind of where they go with it, because the developers are really, really involved. So that, I mean, that's a good path to take.
It definitely is.
Well, Fortnite is actually their paid right now version of the PvE, player versus everything. That's multiplayer, player versus elements, pretty much. Is actually set to go free this year. So they're not
just 100% sure.
Battle Royale. But they're going to have the other side too. And that you don't have to pay for it anymore. So sometime this year, that site goes live for free, and that might keep Fortnite where it's at.
Yeah, I think they fell into the perfect time. I mean, there's not a lot of great games out there right now, like as far as, you know, competition for them. And PUBG was the competition, and PUBG failed at the wrong time. Like, I mean, they got into a point where they just let it go on for too long, like I said, and everybody jumped ship. And I could tell you, at least from my perspective, I know a lot of players who hated Fortnite the first time they played it, because it's discouraging. You know, jumping into a game where you're playing people of all skill levels, and, you know, you don't know how to build yet. The controls are really, like, kind of wonky, but... In the hang of it, it's fun, and that's kind of where, like, PUBG was gone too long, right? Like, if they didn't go down at that time, it'd be interesting to see where Fortnite would be versus PUBG, because I don't think Fortnite would be nearly as big as it is.
Well, yeah, I don't play PUBG a lot or Fortnite a lot, but I always knew about the cheating. And that's big. I didn't realize it was that bad though in PUBG, where it pushed people all the way to Fortnite, which makes sense why Fortnite is like one of the top games on Twitch and pretty much every other streaming platform.
Yeah, and I mean it. I would love to go into a long rant about it, but I won't.
No,
it's definitely less than ideal for sure.
Wow.
I feel bad because I think PUBG is the better game, but it's gonna fail.
That stinks.
Developer, from what I've heard, a couple rumors, so I'm not gonna say it's true, but the guy that did PUBG was actually on the team for H1Z1,
yeah,
and pissed him off, and he left, and he made PUBG in spite of them,
yep,
to make a better game than H1Z1. So I don't think that guy's heart was where it needed to be when he developed PUBG.
Yeah, and I mean,
like, he's like, oh, whatever.
Well, I think another interesting interesting twist into this whole, if you want to go conspiracy theory type stuff with it. You know, Fortnite, they're Epic Games, right? You know, and Epic Games, their servers actually host PUBG. So, that, you know, they don't have any interest into helping them fix anything. And I know there was actually a lawsuit that came out. PUBG was trying to sue Fortnite for essentially stealing content before it was released because they could see it on their servers about stuff that they were going to try to do.
That's funny.
So that, I don't know. I don't. What do you even do about that if you're if you're the people like, oh yeah, you host our game and now you created your own game and like,
what? Is that conflict of interest?
Exactly. Like, I don't know what the what the terms are there, but I feel like someone should have mentioned that at some point. If that wasn't in their documentation, like someone messed up.
Yeah. Really. Oh my gosh, it's hilarious.
Same with I think H1Z1 tried to sue PUBG, the guy from that left. They've been trying to sue him for taking their idea and going to PUBG. So it's like a whole chain of events here.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, if we look back far enough, like, it's Pepsi and Coke probably had a very similar story.
Probably.
You know? But, I mean, I don't know enough about law to understand it, but I feel like someone's messing up somewhere.
Wait, how
That's insane. I didn't know that part. I knew that PUBG was mad at Fortnite, but... that was a big thing, too, in the community was, Fortnite's just a rip-off. They literally just ripped off PUBG. Added a cartoony feel to it.
And that was the general consensus of the game. And that's why I said, I don't think Fortnite would have gone anywhere if PUBG didn't fail when it did. Like, it was just...
Agreed.
And it, again, if you want to go conspiracy theory, it's like, well, did it really fail then? Like, like, did it, you know, did it really? Or are, you know, are Epic Games letting in backdoor hackers? But I guarantee they're not. It's just really bad timing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just—it's a sad end to the game.
Yeah,
you know, dying and people are hanging on, but I mean, I don't know.
It died out right after I bought it. I held out so long buying it, and then I bought it, and now everybody's leaving playing it.
and too, like the console version of PUBG is just—it's atrocious from what I've seen. Like, yeah, it's like almost embarrassing. I wish they wouldn't have done it. I think that actually hurt them. Because the game was great. It was at its highest point before they went to 1.0 when they released the new map, when they released the Xbox version. It really killed the game. I think they tried to do too much.
Right.
They let the actual gameplay die. You know, like where people just wanted to play the game and not get cheated. And they just, they had other priorities and it killed the game. It's sad. Totally, I mean, it's still big, but...
I get shot at and I start panicking. I'm like, where's it coming from? What do I do?
Yeah, that took quite a while. I mean, I could tell you if you do enjoy PUBG, I played probably like 100 hours or so of the game before I felt even remotely comfortable. And that's coming from a professional first-person shooter background.
100 hours, holy crap.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right, I hear that's the general consensus with a lot of people. They're like, if you haven't played it for 100 hours, don't complain how bad you are.
Yeah. And I mean, it took me, I've probably like 700 hours in the game or so. So I'm good at it now, but trust me, it's not a game that, and that's what's discouraging too, right? Like there's a lot of downtime in the game. Fortnite, it's like, it's quick. Yeah, everything happens really fast. You can get into the game quickly. You can get out of games really fast. Like it's something that you can pick up and get a kill a lot easier than in PUBG.
So much better at Fortnite.
No, I suck at Fortnite.
but that's the thing, you know, like you don't have to, there's a huge skill gap difference. You know, for good players in Fortnite and good players in PUBG, but that's what keeps those games interesting, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I get shot at in Fortnite and I still freak out trying to build. I don't know how to build for shit. They just run and hide in buildings.
Yeah, they're already built for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. But so do you see the new one that came out, Hunt the Showdown? What do you think of that? Like, what do you think? That's like PUBG mixed with the H1Z1 mixed with like a Monster Hunter What do you think of that?
I haven't played it. It looks really, really interesting though. I really didn't know much about it. I tuned in probably about 2 days ago actually. I have to look more into the game, but it looks like a lot of fun. I think we're gonna see a lot of battle royale games come out. I know Paladins just did something. They're doing something with Battle Arena, which may or may not be interesting. I don't know how it's gonna work with like an Overwatch style, you know, kind of feel to it, where every character has different abilities. I don't know how that would work in a battle royale game. That seems kind of weird.
Yeah, it does.
But
I don't know. I bought the alpha or the pre whatever it is right now, the pre beta, early beta. It's buggy as crazy. It's crazy buggy.
Oh yeah.
But it's I don't know. It's pretty fun. I played the other day and it's just stealthing through it. Like it's a whole like stealth mechanic that you can really play with it. And avoiding zombies, trying to find the hunt, get the bag. But I don't know. I think if they do it right and don't let cheating happen, it could definitely be a contender with like Fortnite.
I think there is a huge market right now because I don't think like Fortnite has tournaments, but I don't think it'll ever be like a top game for like professional gaming. Like I don't think it's going to be an esport.
No,
I think it's a really, really, really entertaining game. But it's not going to be an eSport. And PUBG had the potential to be the eSport, and it didn't work out. Like, they're trying still, but it's not going anywhere. It's not taking the kind of traction that they need. So there's a huge gap right now in a game that can just take over and be the professional eSport game of Battle Arena games. Because that's what people want to play right now.
Yeah, that's the hot game. Those are the hot games.
I mean, you need somebody to take over and just be like, we're going to do it right. You know, and it's not happened yet. So I'm interested to see the game that eventually takes off, and just does it right. I mean, hopefully, you know, if PUBG has a chance, I think that's it. Like, fix the game to a point where they can make it the esport title. Because right now, I mean, you can't even play in online tournaments. You're gonna get cheated. Like all the pros were talking about that. Like they're like, let's play for a bunch of money in a game that's riddled with cheaters. Like, I mean, you can't. It's just ridiculous. So. But that's why they have these really small invitationals. But you know, who wants to watch 20 people run around in a battle royale game? Like that's not what we want to see. We want to see 100 people.
Right,
that's
100
what
people.
We're used to playing. Yeah, like, you know. So I don't know. I'm interested to see who takes over that space. I mean, maybe Fortnite even comes out with a different, you know, a different game mode where it's more realistic, or you know, they limit certain items to play in an esport. Despite esport title, I don't know,
right.
But I think someone is going to do it, and whoever it is going to blow up.
Oh my gosh, that'll be the game to play then. Like there you go.
I'm waiting for it.
I have to see, but we're caught up on time here. So where can everyone find you, Reforic? Where is your home on the internet?
So you can find me a couple different places. I'm at Reforic, so it's REPHORIK on Twitter. And if you want to find me on Twitch, you can find me at twitch.tv/ggreforic, and that stands for good guys. We have a stream team of a couple of my old professional gamer friends. We all game together pretty much every day. So you can find me there.
Awesome. So you're on Twitch, Twitter, and your own stream team. Very cool, man. So. It's been fun. I'm glad you came on, dude. I'm sorry things are a little rocky to start out with, but it's awesome meeting you and interviewing you, dude. It's been an awesome time today. I appreciate it. Thank you for making time. Come on.
This weekend has been crazy. I know this weather has knocked out my cell tower for a couple of days. It's knocked out my internet, and my internet's been really spiky. So unfortunately, if you come in my stream over the next couple of days, you may see the result of that. I was losing a lot of frames last night because of the connection, and it kept disconnecting. So I'm sorry if you see that, but that's definitely not the norm.
Hey, that's all right, man. Sometimes real life is just evil.
Exactly. They're trying to hold us down.
Exactly. Got pushed through real life. But Reforic, thank you, man. It's been awesome having you on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it has.
It's been nice talking to you, man. Nice actually talking to you. I mean, we've crossed paths a couple times, but should actually sit down and talk to you.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm down the game whenever, you know, just because I'm playing a different game doesn't mean I won't hop on something else. So let me know if you guys are ever down to game a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we're awesome. I'm doing lots of multiplayers on Saturday, so definitely.
I'm slowly getting a mouse and keyboard, taking a little bit.
Yeah, we have to get
it takes some time.
off the PS4. I'm onto the master race here. The PC.
It's 100% the master race, man. I was a console professional. I wasn't a PC professional, and I would never go back to console ever. Like once you get used to mouse and keyboard, it's like, what was I doing all these years? Like I couldn't go back. So come on over, join us, master race.
Yeah, right now my hands start hurting after sitting there on WSD for a while.
Oh yeah, I guess used to it. Stamina, definitely.
But hey,
but build the tolerance.
Yeah,
but I got a year to get used to it before I decide to buy an actual gaming PC. So.
All right, guys, it's been awesome. We're gonna get on out of here, everyone. Well, I'm gonna get this up there for. I'm actually gonna get up there for today. Hopefully, be out there. I'm gonna edit and get it up there. Well, I'm gonna edit tonight and get it out there for Tuesday. So watch for the podcast wherever you can receive a podcast. But again, Rhetoric, thank you very much. Hypnotic, awesome guy. I think we had an awesome show, and we'll talk to you guys soon. We'll talk to everyone later. Peace out. Streamers, you want to be the next podcast for Meet the Streamer? Head to bit.ly/2fdnhi, and we'll get you on the show. It's a little questionnaire that we ask you to fill out so we can get to know you a little bit better and have some questions for the show. And then from there, we'll just let it roll and see where it goes. But I hope you enjoyed the show. It was Mr. GG Rhetoric over at twitch.tv/GG Rhetoric. I am RiffinMDR over at mixer.com/RiffinMDR. And my other co-host was twitch.tv Hypnotic Ent. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Music was provided by 99 Lives. All his music is free to download. Check him out. Awesome composer. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We're going to be doing audio from now on. So catch the podcast wherever you can catch podcasts near you. Dudes, it's been awesome. We'll check you out next time. Bye, guys. Bye.